Blog Talk Radio.
Paying homage to the sport coach. Giving it up to the exotic watch. No need to be tucking them tailor shirts. Custom prints on our guys' socks. This one's for the button-ups. Showing love to the cufflinks. Spit shining on those square toes. And the fresh crease blue jeans. We're growing around.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, K-E-W-R-D-B.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of E-Water Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of E-Water Radio, K-E-W-R-D-B, or its affiliates.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining on the third episode of Real Connected. I am super excited. This month is Home Ownership Month, and so we are going to definitely focus on what that means as far as affordable housing and loan products. But first, I wanted to, again, just thank you all for joining. Thank you to No Limit Records, Sean Ross, as well as Cheetah for providing the music for today, which is Grown. Always big ups to the people. If you have music that you want to share with me and want to send it to me, I will definitely share it. This is a community where we are about growth. So again, if you have music that you want to share and you want me to play it for you, just email it to me. It's EileenCobbs@kw.com. If this is your first time joining, I am Eileen. I am based out of Cincinnati. It is a beautiful day here in Cincinnati today, and I am with Keller Williams, Seven Hills. I am a realtor here. So the purpose of this particular radio show and this particular episode is really to educate the community about real estate, what the process is, and the relationships we have with every moving piece in the process. So today I am so excited. I'm honored to have David Becklem. Dan Becklem. I don't know why I get that messed up. I'm sorry, Dan. But I am definitely honored to have him here. He is with Fifth Third, with Community Lending Sales VP there at that organization. So I'm super excited to have him. Dan, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for joining. And I apologize. I don't know why I keep messing your name up.
It's all right. Dan Beckley. It's okay.
Dan Beckley. My bad. So, Dan, again, I'm super excited to have you on. And the mortgage side, the lending side, is probably the most important, after – everything else. And so because it's Home Ownership Month, I thought it would be great to have you come on and tell us what it means from the lending side. But first, tell us about yourself. Fifth Third, for those who aren't from Cincinnati, tell us about Fifth Third and what your involvement is there at Fifth Third.
Sure. Fifth Third Bank has been in Cincinnati for about 150-some years, but we're also, we have just gotten our national charter. So we've got branches, throughout the Eastern United States and can do lending work in a lot of states. So in most states.
Okay.
So I on a one-on-one basis, I can definitely help people figure out if we're able to help them where they're at. But I handle the community lending space for Ohio and Kentucky for Fifth Third Bank. And so what that means is that we're trying to reach out and help on the education level, on a lending level, to underserved communities. The Community Reinvestment Act requires banks, and also it's the right thing to do, to serve our customers in our metropolitan statistical areas that we reside. So we try to help our customers in the demographics that match up to the actual demographics of those areas. And that's not always easy to do. There's a lot of reasons why different communities have struggled with lending in the past. Sometimes it's language barrier. Sometimes it's a cultural barrier. Sometimes it's been discrimination and redlining and disinvestment in their neighborhoods. So there's a lot of reasons that a community could be underserved, but that's what we as community lenders or Community Reinvestment Act loan specialists, we really focus on trying to help those communities get the lending needs met that they need to become homeowners and to refinance properties and to upgrade properties and do, you know, rehab and construction and all those type of residential lending.
Right. And how do we know? So that is excellent information, but how does someone know if they're not in this area, how do we know that our bank, that community lending is important to them or that that's something that they participate in?
I can't speak for anybody else but Fifth Third Bank, but it is an extremely important part of our lending. It has a lot. I mean, it means a lot to our reputation. It means a lot to just doing the right thing and making sure that our communities are served appropriately, because there's just so much that stands in the way for so many people for home ownership and to be able to get the American dream. We've got to be there. You know, we have to be there to educate and to help people overcome those boundaries. I always tell
right.
people it's a matter of when you can buy a house. It's not a matter of if. We've got people here on my team that we can work with you wherever you're at on your journey and try and figure out what needs to happen. I mean, so many people go into a bank, they apply for a loan, they get told, I'm sorry, we can't help you, and that's all they really – and then they get a generic turndown letter with a few credit report reasons of that you've had some derogatories or you've had a collection or you've had something that's standing in the way. But nobody ever takes the time for those individuals to sit down and explain to them, you know, well, you're almost there, but we need to fix this, and let's look at your credit report to see if the information's accurate. Let's make sure that there's nothing that you need to dispute because it's not yours, or if there's someone with a similar name that's reporting incorrectly. Taking those extra steps, I think, is a lot about what community lending is and what that means to me,
mm-hmm.
is being able to have those extra conversations to get you on the way. So,
right.
You know, another one of my catchphrases is I won't say no, I say not now. So not no, it's not now. And then explain why, because many people don't understand what it is that they have to do to get qualified for a loan.
I was just going to say, I think that is one of the biggest issues is that oftentimes banks just tell, they tell someone no, but they don't go the extra mile to say, no, you can't do it right now, but why? And what is it that they need to do to be ready in the future? And you had mentioned credit. So I really wanted to get your opinion or what you think of credit specialists. The reason I ask is because I know that I can pull my own credit and maybe see what my scores are and what's derogatory. But there seems to be a lot of credit. I don't know what the proper title is, but people are paying individuals to get their title or their credit looked, reviewed, and I guess fixed. What is your position?
Sure.
What do you think of that?
Well, I can't speak with a blanket statement. But I do know that there are some services that all they do is they just run consistent disputes for you. And they
mm-hmm.
dispute and they dispute and dispute. And that's all they do. They're not actually helping you change behaviors. They're not helping you to actually pay anything off or to figure out a plan to better your situation. They're just taking
right.
letters and sending them over and over again. And you'll find that your credit scores will come up and temporarily, and they'll look really good while they're sending those dispute letters, because when that's taken out of the scoring system because it's in dispute, it might make your credit look a lot better. But one thing that banks will tell you on the mortgage side is if there are too many disputes active on your credit, we're not going to make a credit decision because we don't know what your credit scores truly is. We don't know what your credit
okay.
truly looks like because we don't know what those disputes results are going to be. So
Is the same credit report the same as, so if I go to Karma, is Karma the same, does it have the same information that per se that you would pull there at the bank?
It should have the same information. However, the scores are going to be, you know, score estimators, because the scores that are sold by Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, that's their secret sauce. That's their, you know, 11 herbs and spices. They're not going to give out exactly what those algorithms are, because that's how they make their money. That's how they sell credit scores to banks and to other institutions that are making decisions based on those credit scores, based on that algorithm and the data that's there. So the free service, many of them are using estimators to where, you know, credit experts at like HUD-approved counseling agencies and lenders, we're pretty sure we know what causes things to go up and down. We know what pieces of the puzzle are there, whether it be derogatory marks for having late payments, or whether it be, you know, being maxed out on a credit card, or having, you know, high balances on a credit card, which is something that a lot of people don't know can hurt your credit scores. We've got an idea of what those things are, but the specific algorithms that develop the credit score that predicts on a scale of, you know, bottom to top of the ratios for the credit report of how likely you are to pay back your loan on time. I mean, that's really what the point of a credit score is. So those are going to be estimators. And even if you have your credit pulled by Equifax, and you go through one of those services or Experian or TransUnion, a lot of times they'll give you what's called a consumer score or a blended score, and that's a score that is going to be something that's going to be a good idea of where you stand, but it's not going to be the exact same thing as you'd be pulled for a lender, because we're going to pull a mortgage report, which has its algorithms tweaked out to where it's really predictive for a mortgage. But that may not be the same exact customer profile that has the same score for an auto loan or for a credit card. So there are different types of scores that are used as well, depending on what kind of lending product that you're using. But more, you know, so Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and FHA and VA, USDA, they all have types of scores that they require us to pull to use to be able to use their programs.
Got you. So it's really more so, like you had mentioned earlier, discipline versus the fast fix. So if I wanted to do the fast fix because this is what I'm trying to do, then okay, so I'm going to pay for someone to do this, but the discipline isn't being created, or you know what I mean, as far as I'm not let me pay my bills off.
For a lot of times, the paid consumer, updaters and the people who do the credit fixing, you know, if they're helping you, you know, in the similar type approved program that you would have at a HUD approved counseling agency, then that's something that's okay. But there is no quick fix to credit. You know, you've got to change the behaviors, because if you do just dispute everything, you may get lucky, and those things may come
right
off. But if you did not pay the collection, that collection company still has a right to collect. They still have a contract for money that you owe, and they can sell it to a different collection company, and then that new collection company can report to your credit report. So it depends. I would recommend personally that you figure out what's going on with your credit and do the things you can to change to improve it, than trying to look for a quick fix that in most cases is not going to actually benefit you in the long term.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, and I like what you had said as far as just to make sure, because we don't want to say that all credit repair specialists are just after you for your money, but just like any other service that we are seeking, you want to make sure that you are doing your homework and that whatever you're paying for, that you're going to get it, and that it's valid. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, if you're paying for service, we want to make sure that they're just not writing dispute letters that you could write yourself. You know, and they're giving you some guidance. And that's why I say the first resource that I would recommend is to find a HUD approved, you know, counseling agency, you know, home ownership center that you can connect with, you know, in your area.
And
that's going to be a
and that's why it all ties in, because it's important that not just with the agent, but I'm really big on just making sure that you have good relationships with the people around you and the people that you are doing business with and servicing. And so it doesn't just start with the agent. It goes with any person that's involved in that process. And you just want to make sure that, and I said this in the last episode, that you can interview your agent to make sure that they meet your needs. And the same applies to the lender, to make sure that you are picking a lender that fits your needs, that, you know, one of the things, and if you can just provide additional information, I know that as we do the lending process, that there are definitely things that you can differentiate between institutions, and it is the interest rate, the closing costs. How do you recommend, I know that there is a period of time that a consumer is allowed to shop around. What does that period look like, that it only counts as one thing per se on your credit? What is that time span, and what is your recommendation as consumers go out there and look for the best deal when it comes to lending?
Well, the first thing I would say is that, you know, it's different with the different credit reporting agencies, but I believe that like two of them is a rolling month and one of them is 2 weeks, but you have a bit of time. I think it's really important that you do. I mean, I represent Fifth Third Bank, but we don't have the perfect solution for every single person. There may be an opportunity in your local market that might be something that we can't do because we don't lend there or something like that. So you do want to look at your options to make sure that you have good loan programs that are available to you. You know, FHA is a very good option for a lot of people, but it's not the only low down payment option. There's tons of different programs out there. You know, we've got Fifth Third Community Mortgage, which is 3% down, and it's got reduced mortgage insurance, and it's got a $1,500 closing cost credit. It's got reduced lender fees. I mean, there's and that ends up with PMI that goes away instead of FHA that currently doesn't. But there's a lot of people out there that only think of FHA as a possibility if you need a loan down payment. And that's sometimes that's the case for a lender, is that's all that they offer. So you do want to make sure that you look at different options. But something that I want to tell people too that's important is that you need to have a team. When you go into the real estate process right now, you have to have a team that's solid. It's really important.
Right.
The market is very difficult to work with right now. You have to have a good agent. You have to have a good lender. They need to be on the same team as partners helping you to make sure that you can get your homeownership dream come true. Because if they're not able to be in lockstep and communicate, so that's another thing too, is not just the program, but also things to consider is, what do the closing costs look like? What down payment assistance programs are available through that lender? What are they going to keep your loan? Are they going to sell your loan after closing? Are you going to know where you're going to make your payments to? Is it going to end up at a servicing company that's terrible and that you can't get satisfaction when you ever have an issue? You know, is it a place like Fifth Third Bank that, other than our bond loans that are required to be sold, you know, we keep our loans. That's something that's important to us, is that we can serve the customer and they can come to one of our local branches and sit down and have things explained to them. They can, you know, get service over the phone, over the web, in person. You know, those are all different things that are really important for you to think about. Is you know, there is a big difference between a Mercedes and a Kia. They have different uses.
Well, I don't know, Dana. Like, you can get a really loaded Kia right now.
You can, but it's not going to be the same as a loaded Mercedes. I'm just saying.
You're right.
Neither of them are bad vehicles. They serve two different markets. They serve two different purposes. You know, you need to find out what is that's important to you. What options are important to you? You know, how long you're going to stay in that home? What your plans are? If you're planning to get the home and rehab it and flip it real quick, then maybe it's dumb to use a fixed rate mortgage. But if you're planning on being there or you don't know how long you're planning on being there, then it's really important that you do have a fixed rate mortgage. So you just really, really need to have somebody who's going to be on your team who can give you good, solid advice that has experience and ask you the right questions to make sure that they're putting you in the right direction.
Go ahead.
No, I just said the individual that you're working with is extremely important. You know, not just the name that they work for, but the actual individual themselves.
Right. Yeah, no, I was just going to mention that I always say how important it is to have a relationship with your bank and to go inside and to show your face and to speak to someone. And it is that relationship that is so important. And you get to know each other and what your needs are. And, you know, that's so important, I think. And I try to tell my clients that. Go inside.
Yeah, no matter how smart you are, you can't know and do everything. You know, I tell people all the time that you have to have important people in your life. You should have a real estate agent. You should have a doctor that you trust. You should have a dentist, a lawyer. These are things that are important. I mean, I don't do my own dentistry, you know, because that's not my area of expertise. You know, I trust my dentist that I've gone to for a long time. So having a relationship with someone that you know and trust and that's frankly that you like and you can get along with is important in real estate and to be successful.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm going to segue that into unfair practices. And I know that we certainly don't live in a perfect world. And it has been definitely done in the past where there has been unfair practices when it comes to adjusting rates and mortgage insurance premiums. You know, being applied unfairly to minority home buyers and those that are underserved. And that was just something that I recently read in the Journal of Financial Economics. What is your opinion? And first off, what is Fifth Third doing? I know that you mentioned that community lending was a big deal and something that was important to Fifth Third. What is Fifth Third doing to make sure that those unfair practices aren't being you know, they're not going, you know, triggering down to the consumer, but on a larger scale, what is your opinion on that? And then I wanted to go into what you felt or what you think is the reason why the numbers are down when it comes to homeownership in the Black and Brown community.
Sure. First off, you know, there is still issues out there, and that is for sure. That there are still issues in the lending. In my career, I've been in this business, lending business, for about 25 years. I've been at Fifth Third Bank for 17. So I have to say that my opinions and my thoughts are really a little narrower, you know, on this because of that being at the same place, doing the same things in community lending myself for so long.
Yeah.
So you know, when I speak about this stuff, I'm not saying that there is no racism because that's absolutely not true, and that there isn't a problem with discrimination that's affecting people. That's absolutely not true. However, what I do find a lot of times, you know, is that there's a class issue more than there is a race issue, and it creates a problem for groups of people. So we talk about, you know, disparate treatment of a certain group, and then you have, you know, an indirect disparate impact. And those are two separate things. When bankers in general
explain that to Dan, if you can break it down to where someone who might not understand, if you can break that down on what is the difference between,
sure,
what is the impact? Yeah.
Sure. So that's what I was getting to, is if you've got no idea of race, you've got no idea of religion or gender or anything, you get five emails or you get five voicemails, you get five messages, and the first one's for $1 million construction loan, and the second one's a $500,000 purchase transaction, and then there's a call for a $350,000, you know, equity deal, and then you get something for $70,000 or $80,000, and then you have something that's a $25,000 refinance. You know, the
I'm
order
going
that
for
I
the
just,
higher.
Yeah, the order that I just read those off, it was in a particular dollar amount order, but say those things came in at all different times. When you check that voicemail at the end of the day, there's most people in the business world that are going to call those back in a specific order. And it doesn't necessarily mean that that person is trying to impact somebody negatively. It's just that they, you know, based on money, they're making a lot more money. And this in real estate, you know, real estate brokers take a percentage of the sales price. You know, so it right. is much more incentive for a lender or a real estate agent to take a larger deal, you know, to make that work. So that creates the disparate impact because of the way that our demographics are in the United States and most places. You know, if you're taking, poorer people or lower income folks and you're putting them on a second tier, you know, of callbacks, they're already getting a disparate impact. And it's not necessarily mm-hmm. because of race or because of anything, any of the other types of protected, you know, classes. It's because of the result of just purely the numbers. But we know in this country that it affects people of color and people of lower income a lot more than it would, you know, white people. So I think mm-hmm. that's something that we really have to pay attention to, and that's why community lending at Fifth Third is so important, because, you know, the loan originators on my team, you know, they're incented to help people, you know, no matter where they fall, and you're actually incented higher to help people who are in moderate to low income neighborhoods, and to help people who are in low or moderate income, you know, families. So that's something that we have specialists, just like you'll have construction specialists and you'll have private banking specialists and wealth managers and all sorts. We have community lenders or CRA loan specialists who focus on that specifically. And that's something that's important, because those are the folks that are going to, you know, be able to sit down and take some more time to go over credit. You know, they're going to go over the obstacles. They're going to discuss with you what the issues are that are holding you back, if there are, you know, if there are any.
Yeah.
We have got we've got a lot of affordable lending products as well. Like I mentioned, we've got the Fifth Third Community Mortgage, which is a special program that we only have. That has, like I said, low down payment. You can combine that with our down payment assistance program, which if you're in a low moderate income census tract and your income falls under 80% of the median income, you can get that $3,600 to help you from us. That's something that's good because it doesn't interfere with any other assistance you may get. So it's not a grant from an outside place. It's not a second mortgage. It's not a deed restriction. Not anything that's going to hold you up on the other side, you know, to where you can stack it. We've got $1,000 lender paid fee credit right now for all of our USDA, VA, FHA, and all of the government loans that we offer, 203K even with FHA, which is a construction loan that'll help you rehab the property and purchase it with the same loan. We've got that available. All of those, we've got a lending credit on those for $1,000 to help people use those programs. Right now, we just also, on the more recent note, we made a $20 million commitment to 9 neighborhoods in our footprint. So that's a $180 million commitment. We've got Grove Park in Atlanta, the historic West End in Charlotte, South Chicago in Cincinnati. Here we have Avondale. Cleveland, the Buckeye target area. We've got the Near East Side in Columbus, G7, a neighborhood in Detroit, Arlington Woods in Indianapolis, Russell neighborhood in Louisville, and then East Tampa. We've got specific goals. We work with all the community, organizations in those areas to really see how we can make an impact. And then the mortgage company part of Fifth Third, we have offered to waive, to credit, not waive, we're crediting, we're doing a credit to compensate for all of our lender fees. So that's up to $11.45 if you're in one of those targeted areas. So
that truly means that if you pick the right bank, the right lender, and doing your homework, and Justice Fifth Third is committed to community lending and, you know, improving neighborhoods. I don't know if it's related, but I heard that Avondale was approved to build 18 new homes. Is that through Fifth Third, or is that related in some kind of way, or someone completely different?
It may be related, because we've been working with the city and working with all those community organizations and development organizations as well. But I'm not sure. That's not something that if I don't know what I'm talking about, I try not to say anything. So I'd say that could be a possibility, but I'm not 100% sure if those are 100% sure if that's related. But there is a lot of development and small business lending and you know, mortgage lending, and then also philanthropy that's involved in those big commitments.
Yeah, for sure. And that's awesome to hear that Fifth Third, and I hope that other banks are doing it, you know, across, of course, Ohio, but around the country, is to provide those down payment assistance. That's really big, especially knowing that one of the biggest hurdles in the Black and Brown community is the ability to save money. I know how many of us really have 20%, you know, 20-25% to put down on the home. So to know that in picking the right lender and, you know, of course, your lender has to be and your banker has to be knowledgeable of, you know, what's available, which you always seem so knowledgeable to me of, to be able to tell me, okay, so this is what we have, this is what we have. If you combine all of that, there is no reason why anyone, knowing what they know and having the right people on their side, there's no reason why, you know, anyone shouldn't be or can't be a homeowner.
Right. I mean, you can combine all these different programs that Fifth Third has, but there's also, you know, OFA has programs that can help if you don't necessarily fit into one of the programs I talked about. You know, we offer the OFA programs, which is Ohio Housing Finance Agency. There is city grants like, you know, within the city of Cincinnati. You know, there's HUD dollars that's called the American Dream Down Payment Initiative. So there's different things like that. And because I'm in Cincinnati, that's why I'm referencing some of the Cincinnati stuff. But there are identical programs, because those dollars, you know, funnel down to different areas. They just might be called different things, you know. But there are similar programs across the country that you can use to help you, and you can stack them up a lot of times. And that's pretty incredible. You know, there's been times when I'm originating that I was helping, that I helped somebody use the home ownership, you know, voucher program through Section 8 and through, you know, the housing authority here, so they could get money from, you know, Section 8 instead of going to the landlord. So they can have that housing choice voucher, take that money and put it towards their ownership expenses. You combine that with a city grant. You know, you combine that with a city grant like Addie. You combine that with a grant from the Federal Home Loan Bank when it comes around in early spring, you know, the Welcome Home Grant. And you can stack all these things up and have instant equity in your property. So you're not putting any money out of your pocket except for the minimums, which is usually covered by application fees and earnest money. And other than that, everything else can get covered by those different programs. So there's just a lot of ways to put those things together. But you have to have someone who can get you to that process too, which is another obstacle, is that, you know, many of the communities that I've served for years and years and years just don't know what they don't know, you know. And we talk about a lot of types of privilege, you know, white privilege and male privilege and wealth privilege. You know, if your parents had some wealth, then they're going to be much more able to teach you how to continue to build wealth. If your parents owned a home, then they're going to be much more likely to be able to teach you how to get your credit together, how to apply for a mortgage, how to be a part of that home ownership dream, than if you have nobody in your family that's never owned a home. And I've helped a lot of people in my career that have never had a homeowner in their whole line until that day, until we close that day. And that's a lot about, that's a lot of obstacles that aren't there for a lot of other people, you know, because they've got those resources. That's why it's so important to have community lenders and homeownership education, the Realtist, NAREB, you know, all these different, you know, places that you can go, the Urban League. And you know, I'm just thinking of all these different things that you can go and get information, you know, to help you on that journey, because that's the first step. For most people, it's just,
right.
Where do I start? Because it's overwhelming and intimidating if you don't know where to start. But the overall result of being able to build multi-generational wealth and to think about the fact that maybe your grandchild can go to school without having to have all those student loans for an education because grandma or grandpa had passed away and their home, the equity in their home was able to be used to help them on that venture because they
right.
had a free and clear home. You know, to be able to...
And let me tell you all that... No, I was just going to say that you don't only talk about it, but you definitely serve in the community outside of Fifth Third. You had mentioned NAREB and GCRA, which for those who aren't aware, and I know I spoke about it before, but it's an organization founded on principles to serve our community. Of course, we have other pillars, but, you know, the idea to pursue and promote democracy in housing and to advocate for others is something that the Greater Cincinnati Realtors Association under NAREB is passionate about, and that's what we're tasked to do. And Dan serves as, you know, on the board committee and on the leadership team for GCRA. So I just wanted to let everyone know, Dan, that you're not just saying this because you work for Fifth Third and you're in community lending, but you also practice that outside of your professional career and do that in your personal.
It's so important. You know, it's just so important. You know, I talk to people every single day and I tell them, look, you know, it's a democracy that we are living in,
mm-hmm.
in the United States, but it's also capitalism. And
yeah.
if you don't have capital, then you don't get to play. You know,
right.
you're left out.
Right.
Like, to the poker table without a nanny, you don't get in, you don't get to play.
Right.
So,
that is one of the things that is important is to teach our community, and I say ours, you know, being Latina, that oftentimes as our families come and immigrants come, we have no clue of the process, but how important it is to teach others about generational wealth and how home ownership is tied into that. You know, like you had mentioned, student loans, it was, I think it was BankThink, I hate to quote, but BankThink had stated that African-Americans are in debt $25,000 more than non-black or non-brown, and how even starting off like that, you know what I mean? So you're already in debt. The ability to buy a house, you don't think you can, and, you know, you might not be able to because you have, you know, you don't have the money, you're not saving the money. So how it's just a complete, you know, it's just a cycle. And where does that start? It starts with us. And if we know something, then it is it should be a requirement. We should be able to pass that knowledge along to others and those in our communities to teach them where that generation, how do we start? And how do we start creating that generational wealth?
Well, that's what I say to people all the time. I ask a lot of people, you know, where do you think that wealth comes from? Why do you think that most people are rich? And they'll say to me sometimes, well, because they had a great idea and they created a business and they did this huge thing. And I say, well, that's true. There are some people who do that. Oh, they become music stars. They're rock and roll stars or they're rap stars or they're football stars and they do sports and they do these things. And yeah, well, there's some of those too. But really, most people are wealthy because their parents are wealthy. And those parents are wealthy usually because their parents were wealthy and then so on and so forth. You know, there was a source of wealth,
yeah.
But a lot of times that source of wealth was so long ago. And that's where a lot of our communities in the United States are getting left behind, because due to, you know, them being immigrants, or due to them due to slavery, or due to, you know, to redlining and Jim Crow laws and some of the awful things that have happened here in the United States, their communities are behind, you know, as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, you know, there's a lot of, you know, wealthy families in the United States that made it big in the oil boom and made it big in all these other things, but there are also a lot of wealthy families that came over from other countries with wealth. You know, the royalty or the nobility of that country gave them a huge swath of land, you know what I'm saying, to manage or to be theirs even. And then, so then anybody else who got here afterwards started at a different level, you know. They didn't start at level 100. They're starting, when they're born into this world, they start at level zero, whereas there's so many others in this country that are born at level 100, 1,000, 1 million, you know. And so if you can build that cycle, you know, not everybody has money to put into investments in the stock market. Not everybody has extra money to put into building a business. Not everybody has the ability to build a business because they don't have – That's not their area of skill. But everybody's got to live somewhere. And if we can create a solution for affordable housing in this country to where people can become homeowners like the American dream we've all talked about, then they'll be able to take that wealth that they're building generation after generation by owning a home instead of making somebody else rich by renting.
Right.
They'll have some assets. And they'll be able to play in the game called capitalism. And maybe even the next generation is going to be able to be an entrepreneur because they didn't have to pay all those college debts and go work for the man, quote unquote, you know, as soon as they got out of college trying to pay those student loan bills. They're able to jump straight in and pull their belt tight and develop an amazing business plan, get some lending, and open up a business, you know?
Yeah.
And that's because grandma was able to pay for the college, you know, through that equity instead of having to take out all the student loans. I mean, it can happen. You know, my father took his business full time, you know, and a big part of that was that he, you know, bought and rehabbed when I was very young a house, you know, in downtown Cincinnati, you know, on Liberty. And he was able to fix that up and sell it for much more than he got. And we were able to build a home out in the suburbs. And we got to get out, you know, of downtown into a place where there was better schools and better opportunities and better connections. And that had to do
that equity.
A huge amount had to do with the fact that he was able to put a huge down payment down on that construction house so that we could be the poor kids in the rich neighborhood and be able to go to better schools and do all sorts of things that we wouldn't have available to us had we had stayed where we were. And I do, I put, and that's maybe one of the reasons I'm so passionate about it, but I put home ownership at the top of the list of reasons of why we were able to do that.
Right. And you know, affordable housing is definitely an important topic. I know that, you know, in reading how Freddie and Fannie has already acknowledged, how student loans and student debt impacts certain communities, and just trying to, the idea, and I know it's something that I cannot remember the bill, but it's to lower student payments so that, you know, the debt to income ratio is workable. You know what I mean? As far as, you know, when you think of affordable housing, a lot of us have student debt. And so how can we make that fair so that housing is available for everyone?
Well, that's,
now, you had mentioned earlier about tier one and tier two, right? So I wanted to ask you, so say I'm tier two, and, you know, I'm tier two because I want to buy a $250,000 house. It's not, you know, a million or, you know, $500,000-$600,000. How do I know as a consumer? Because, you know, as we mentioned, there are unfair practices. How do I know as a consumer, or are there ways for me to research or to know if I am being charged a higher interest rate, am I paying higher, is my is the adjustable rate, is it different? Am I paying higher in interest? How do I know as a consumer that, okay, so I'm now tier two. I know that I'm not up there with the rest of them, but that I'm still at tier two being
treated fairly. Well,
I'll tell you that,
you know, with any regulated bank like Fifth Third, and I like I said before, I can really speak on Fifth Third with much experience, but very little with other places. Our systems are set way ahead of time. They don't have to do with the loan amount. You know, they have to do with the loan to value ratio. They have to do with credit score. They have to do with a lot of things. And I know that there, and again, I keep saying these disclaimers that yes, there is racism out there. There is a lot of problems, but it's a lot of it, I think, has a lot to do when it comes to pricing. If you've gotten through the door, if you're not being ignored because your loan amount's not big enough, and you've got a lender who's working with you, who you know and trust, like, it's going to be a matter of the demographics. That if more people of a certain group are getting higher interest rates, a lot of times that's tied to that group's credit score, you know, and because that group's average credit score is lower, that is why that group is getting higher rates. It's so regulated, and it's so well maintained, at least for like Fifth Third Bank, that we have to watch all that stuff very closely. And that's where, you know, more education on what the credit score is made of and how to determine, you know, what you can do to improve your scores, and figuring out that kind of stuff is going to have a huge impact on your pricing and how your loan process goes. So, you know, that's impact instead of, you know, direct treatment of, you know, you walk in and someone says, well, I'm sorry, we don't serve your kind around here, or something like that. That's impact, direct, disparate treatment.
Absolutely.
But when you see on a community level that, you know, this community, whether it be, you know, people of color or this neighborhood or this area, and their average credit score be 620, whereas if you look at different groups or a different community, you might see that they're 720 on an average credit score. That's going to really impact their pricing. So, you know, you pay for having lower credit scores. So it's really, really important that you do talk to an expert to help you with that, because your home insurance is going to be more expensive. It could impact your ability to get a job. It could impact your insurance. You know, there's a lot of pieces that are affected by that credit score. So that would be my answer, is that, you know, not denying that there are problems out there, but in general, you know, it's looking at that statistical data and saying, well, let's dig into that one layer deeper. Not that you know, brown people in this community get higher rates, but let's dig down a little bit deeper and find out why. Is it because there is a lender who is doing racist practices, or is it because, you know, as a community, there's some things that they could be shown to help puzzle the discredit?
All right. And we want to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward. And so if it is home ownership that, you know, that you want, it's like we had said at the very beginning, is doing the work and how can I best position myself to be able to get the best rates and to put less amount down and to make sure that my interest rates are lower. So there is some responsibility on the consumer to be ready. That's why, you know, we talk about goals. If home ownership is a goal, then it's, again, just making sure that you're putting yourself in the right position to get the best product. And that's one of the important things of advocacy. And to when you see all of these homeownership fairs, you know, and workshops, is to certainly to teach people what they need to know to prepare themselves for homeownership. And so, you know, when you see something going on in the community, get involved, get connected, because the more you educate yourself, the more people you are connected with, you just position yourself for greatness. And, you know, if we want a home, then get yourself together and, you know, a few months, you can do that.
And sometimes what you need to know is who you need to know. you know, so
exactly.
that you can find the right experts and build the right team and have that team that you know that you can rely on to give you solid advice and solid information to help yourself.
Right.
Because there is a lot,
right.
there is a lot of wrong information out there. You know, I see stuff online all the time and I slap my forehead and I'm like, oh my God, like the belief that people have been convinced that if you have one credit inquiry on your credit report, that you can't buy a house or that it's going to destroy your credit. Just crazy stuff like that, that is just absolutely false, you know, and everyone's
and
story
what
is different.
Is Dan? I was just going to ask, what is the time span that people have to shop, you know, a pre-approval?
I said,
to Fifth Third and they say 220. What does that look like? What's that time span?
I'm not sure how to interpret the question, so I'm going to answer both answers that I think you might mean. a pre-approval or a pre-qualification is typically good for 90 days because the credit report is only reliable for 120 days, and we want to make sure that we have enough time to close your transaction. And then secondly, as far as shopping around, like I said before, I don't have that exact times, but I know that a couple of the two reporting agencies let you have unlimited mortgage inquiries, you know, within a certain span of time, which is, I believe, a month. And then there was one of them that was was 2 or 3 weeks. But that information, if you go and search it and you look at a good source, like getting the information directly from Equifax or Experian or TransUnion or a homeownership counseling agency, they can give you the most updated information on those pieces.
Gotcha. And this hour has gone by so quickly. But I wanted to talk about the myth that the bubble is going to burst, and so people are waiting, you know, to buy or, you know, to sell, waiting for this bubble to burst. And you know, as interest rates are increasing, you know, thinking that, okay, the same thing is going to happen now as it did, was that 2008? We know that the rates have increased. But they're certainly not as high as they were in the past. What is your opinion about the bubble bursting? Do you think it's going to burst? And where do you see interest rates going?
Well, I'd like to say that nobody knows where the interest rates are going, because even the smartest, most highest paid analysts thought that we were going to reach about 4% by the end of this year. And instead...
And we're already at what, 4.98?
Yeah. No, we're in.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are right this moment, but I know that we crested up closer to 5.5 this year, and then they've come back down a little bit, and then they go back up. They're based on the markets, and the markets are crazy because of all the different conflicts around the world and inflation, and then we had the pandemic causing all sorts of resource issues and logistics issues. So it's really unpredictable. I mean, I'd hate to say that this that. I think they're going to be here because, you know, even the people who get paid way, way more than me to analyze that stuff, they were wrong. So it's going to be what it's going to be. But I will say this, that prior to 2007, 5.25 was achieved for 6 days as one of the lowest rates that there ever was, you know.
Wow.
And the average rate prior to that for 50 years was at 7.875. So our rates are nowhere near that. And I know if you ask people who bought and sold homes in the 70s and 80s, that they had double-digit interest rates, you know? So that's
I remember that, yes.
So as far as the bubble is concerned, we have an affordable housing crisis in this country. And in a lot of markets, that's not going away right now. You know, it's not a matter of just low-income housing or moderate-income housing. There is a shortage of housing, period, in this country. So it's not necessarily a bubble. It's supply and demand. You know, it's that there's just not enough out there. You know, it breaks up the cycle when the older folks want to downsize, but there's nothing for them to buy, so they can't sell. And the first-time home buyers, you know, who bought their houses first-time home buyers, want to upgrade to a bigger house because now they have more children, but there's nothing to buy, so they can't sell their house. You know,
right.
it creates a gridlock. And I personally
exactly.
am not a paid. I'm not an analyst. I'm not an economics professor. But I but I'll tell you that I don't see that as something that's just going to go away. You know,
no.
there's a lot of people focused and working on this problem, but I don't think it's going to go away. You know, and the interest rate
so
does impact your buying power. So
it
when
does.
You look
it
at
does.
when you look at a scenario. And I did this for a lot of my clients who were like, I'm giving up. And you know, I was like, well, just remember that if you buy something at a higher price with a lower interest rate, you're going to end up paying less than if you bought it at a little bit lower price with a much higher interest rate. So the thing that I tell everybody when they ask me, when's the best time to buy a house? Whenever you can, as soon as
right.
you can. Because if you own something, you can build equity in it. If you continue to rent, you're just giving away all of your hard-earned money to someone else's profits and wealth.
Got you. I am going to do the station disclaimer because I have to. And then before we end this particular episode, I have a question that I wanted to ask you, and I didn't ask you before, but it was about the housing inventory shortage. But I wanted to get specific with you. So I'm going to do the disclaimer with the ID, and we're going to come back and discuss the housing inventory storage. And then I want you to let everyone know how they can get a hold of you and what how they can, you know, get a hold of their local Fifth Third wherever they're at. So I'm going to go ahead and do the disclaimer, and we'll be right back.
Sure.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR, DB.
I just had to get that out of the way. But if you are listening to what's that?
I can say that too. All of my comments and thoughts are my own as well. They're just Dan's.
Got you. No, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. And, you know, even if we just educate a few people, but I appreciate eWater Radio for giving me this platform. So wherever you are in this country, you know, I hope that we have provided you with information, valuable information, as you start the journey of homeownership, whether you're in it or whether you are thinking about it. We hope that we gave you some knowledge to start with so that you, too, when you go to your local bank or whether you're in Cincinnati, hope you're going to Fifth Third. But hopefully we're giving you knowledge that you make right decisions, that you connect yourself with the right people and the right lenders. But, Dan, I wanted to close out. You and I had a discussion, and I think it's so important because we talk about the shortage in inventory. But we know that a lot of investors are, and we have 90 seconds, a lot of investors are buying up this property. What do you think about that? And how important is it for us to, as agents and as lenders, to educate our consumers about that? And how do we fix that? What is your opinion?
Well, I'm not sure what the solution is, but I do know that I personally get a whole lot of calls from call centers asking me to buy my property. And if I'm bored and I want to say yes and find out they transferred me to some out-of-state, you know, investor who wants to offer me cash and this and that. And it's you really have to have a real estate professional help you with this because you're not going to have a good idea of what that house is worth. And I think that a lot of people are selling grandma's house and divesting themselves and their family and their neighborhood and giving it to outside investors, out-of-state investors, who statistically what we see is that they're not keeping the houses up to code. They're evicting people very quickly. They're not being good landlords. They're charging high application fees for rent, you know, for people to apply to rent there. It's just, it's a very big problem. So please,
and Dan,
don't
for the last 15. Exactly. And the last 10 seconds, tell us your social media handle and really quickly how people can get a hold of you.
You can reach me at Daniel, Daniel, Beckley, Bachelle, at 53.com. That's Daniel, Bachelle, at 53.com, or 513-708-4287. That's my phone number for direct contact. And then I can get you directed to anybody that you need to talk to. I can
awesome.
Put you to the right resource.
And Dan, I will include that information on our post and also with eWater Radio, but I thank you so much for being on the show today. And again, I hope that that we provided the information so that people can make knowledgeable decisions as they move into the home ownership process.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Dan. Talk to you soon.
Paying homage to the sport coach, giving it up to the exotic watch. No need to be tucking them tailor shirts, custom prints on our guy's socks. This one's for the button-ups, showing love to the cufflinks. Spit shining on those